the Internet of Things is a key enabler for Industry 4.0. And it is required to make industrial IoT, to make Industry 4.0 possible. Because you need to connect to sensors, you need to connect to autonomous systems, you need to connect to cobots, you need to connect to big data lakes, and so forth.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Rafferty. Hi everyone, welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. This is another of the Industry 4.0 themed podcasts of the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. And my very special guest on the show today is Elvira Wallace. Elvira, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, Tom. Thanks for having me on the podcast. So hello, everyone. My name is Elvira Wallace, and I am running Internet of Things here at SAP.
Super. Wow. That's a great role. Can you tell me, Elvira, we're on the, obviously, Industry 4.0 themed podcast today. So how are we connecting Industry 4.0 and Internet of Things? Because, you know, for a lot of people who think about Industry 4.0, they might think about maybe, you know, improvements in manufacturing and things like that. But is it just that? Is it more than that? How do you see Industry 4.0 and the connection to IoT?
Yeah, so let me maybe start with some, you know, regional flavor here. In Europe, we often like to call things Industry 4.0. If you look into North America, the same phenomena, namely the phenomena of an industrial transformation using new digital technologies such as Internet of Things or edge and cloud computing, big data lakes, and so forth, is termed industrial IoT. So depending on the region of the world, the terms Industry 4.0 and industrial IoT are used interchangeably. Okay. And referring to an industrial transformation using new digital technologies. And if you then go to Asia, it's called ABC Country 2025 or DEF Country 2030. In other words, we're all talking about a phenomena of industrial transformation, which we often call Industry 4.0 in Europe. Mm-hmm. And it requires new digital technologies such as the Internet of Things, edge and cloud computing, big data lakes. So in other words, the Internet of Things is a key enabler for Industry 4.0. And it is required to make industrial IoT, to make Industry 4.0 possible. Because you need to connect to sensors, you need to connect to autonomous systems, you need to connect to cobots, you need to connect to big data lakes, and so forth. So you need an enabler. And the key here is all of that data in and by itself is relatively uninteresting. Mm-hmm. Where SAP comes in, and that has to do with our rich history and also our hopefully very rich future, is bringing this type of data with our technologies in the context of business processes.
Okay. Now, for people who may be unfamiliar, we're obviously not a hardware company, we're a software company, and IoT is very much a mix of hardware and software. So where do we fall into that kind of ecosystem?
It's a very, very good notion that you bring up. Clearly, Industry 4.0, as well as Internet of Things, is not a one person's island. Whoever sets out with the idea of it's me, myself, and I, shall fail miserably. It is an ecosystem play that requires the OT players, it requires the hardware players, it requires some clearly various software companies, and even in the software realm, it's not SAP alone, it's us and our esteemed ecosystem. Where SAP is playing is clearly solely in the realm of software, right? Not hardware. Of course, we have a lot of hardware partners that we work very closely with, so we can recommend to our customers in specific situations, specific types of hardware. So we're not ignorant, we're just not owning that space.
Sure.
Yet to your question, where we're playing in two places, if we cut it very broadly. One is the cloud, where we have, of course, the applications that run in the cloud, as well as the underlying technology for Internet of Things that works in conjunction with the applications. And the second realm where we're playing is edge computing. The world is moving more and more towards distributed computing. And when SAP says edge computing, we're, of course, again, referring to software, and our software runs on various types of hardware, is very close to the source of data. And as to the hardware we run on, we're agnostic. We play with many of the key industry leaders here.
Okay. So for anyone who is unfamiliar with the concept of edge computing, could you just give us a 101 on that?
Oh, definitely. And it's one of my favorite topics. So let's not start with, you know, with SAP. Let's start with the trends in the market, right?
Great.
And if we put it very, very generically, then edge computing is a new form of distributed computing, meaning not all data will be processed in the cloud. Some data will be processed at the edge. So what is the edge? It's basically edge computing means running data, applications, and business processes near the source of that generated data. So the source of the generated data could be a factory, a plant, a mine, and it refers to the concept of running the data, running the application and the business process near to the source of that data. And if people now say, oh, isn't that very far away, and do we need to deal with that today? Maybe some data points, Tom. Yeah. If we're looking at edge computing, it has been growing steadily in the past. And if you listen to the analysts, Gartner, for example, predicts that by 2025, 50% of enterprise-generated data would be created and processed outside a traditional centralized cloud data center. Now, 50%, is that a lot or not? Well, that would be up from 10% in 2019. So that's quite a big growth. And the ability to extend and run business processes at the edge, meaning in the plant, in the factory, close to the source of data, that enables customers to automate and run their operations independently. And that's what a lot of people want in the world of Industry 4.0, in the world of industrial IoT. In order to endorse the digital transformation, they say, hey, my plant, my factory needs to run independently of the cloud. So in order to endorse the cloud, we see a new form of distributed computing, namely the edge. And the edge addresses customer concerns with running in low latency, right? Very often we hear that, I need to run low latency.
Right.
Low bandwidth. And then let's not forget, in many places of the world, there are specific security and regulatory requirements, which says, hey, the data must be processed locally instead of in a centralized cloud. So it can also be regulatory reasons why edge computing starts to prevail. And if you listen to some more data points, and then IDC, for example, predicts that by 2023, 70% of IoT deployment will include edge-based decision-making, right? So the decisions will be made decentral, supporting the organization's agendas. So meaning we can do industrial IoT, we can do Industry 4.0 without it meaning some central cloud-based system taking over. Local autonomy can happen if edge computing is involved. And if we look at also IDC saying, they're saying, okay, 70% of all enterprises will run varying levels of data processing at the edge. And that also means organizations will have to spend a lot on IoT edge infrastructure in that time frame. So I think edge is here to increase in prominence and in relevance for our customers, and it's a good idea to get prepared. I mean, we at SAP, we're very well positioned to run data-driven business processes at the edge. We can run manufacturing processes at the edge, orchestrated from the cloud, and we provide our customers the option to run applications in a hybrid approach, meaning at the edge and cloud. And this hybrid cloud edge offering helps customers accelerate the transition to the cloud by addressing their need around data privacy, around security, around latency, and the regulatory requirements. Now, going back to no person is alone, it's of course clear that we also in the realm of edge computing, we need to be committed to a strong ecosystem. No one can do it alone. You need the hardware providers, and we have announce strategic partnerships with the hyperscalers and also in some cases regional industry-specific players in IoT and Edge, where we leverage the strength of all the players in the ecosystem to help our customers be successful. It's a joint digital transformation where SAP participates together with our customers and our partners.
Okay, super, super. For any of our customers, potential customers, or just anyone who's listening, who is interested on embarking on some kind of Industry 4.0 project, you know, how do you start something like that? Where do you kick off?
It's a very good point to raise. My first perspective would be there is no one size fits all, right? Mm. Customers are, by and large, all increasingly challenged to adapt to ever-changing conditions. Now, mind you, which of these conditions is the most prevalent and in which line of business? Is it the trade wars? Is it managing the global supply chain? Is it skill shortages? Successful customers need to embrace the digital transformation, right? To discover new ways to solve their business problems and to keep their customers engaged, because this has also to do with customer experience and customer loyalty. Sure. Now, customers might start in different areas. They all center on their customers. But whether they start with reinventing production to center on their customers, or whether it is connecting various departments in their company to overcome their own segregation of duties in a way that is hindering success, that is something that customers really will vary. In other words, SAP can help make Industry 4.0 an everyday reality. Now, where customers start, whether it's with the intelligent asset and managing the overall equipment effectiveness, or whether it's the intelligent product where customers want to understand the business impact of design and engineering changes in products, or whether it's the intelligent factory where IoT helps enterprises to be agile and deal with varying production volumes and new manufacturing technologies, or whether it is with empowering people so that people can fulfill complex tasks with a fast workaround, that is really dependent on the customer need. We need to understand that it's important to center on the customers and connect the entire company, but it doesn't mean you need to start everywhere at the same time with the same urgency. Our clear perspective is customers have a choice where they start, and we recommend to start somewhere where, of course, there is an immediate need, and it can be time-boxed because nothing is more convincing than initial positive results, and then right. You can widen the exercise.
Okay, very good. What kind of challenges are companies likely to face on a journey like this? I mean, you mentioned having skilled staff there. Is it staffing, or is it technology, or is it a combination, or is it something else entirely? And you know, having then identified a couple of the challenges, maybe what would be ways of overcoming them?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. And there are some interesting studies out there in the market that I enjoyed. One is by McKinsey, and that study showed clearly that the success rate of these digital transformation projects are not necessarily tied to the area within which they are started. So you couldn't say, oh, let's start it in production, or let's start it around the asset, and asset is more successful than production, or vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. What they showed is, it is other factors that correlate with success. In other words, the more initiatives a customer ran, so in other words, if they addressed digital transformation in more lines of business, they were likely to be more successful than if they were just doing a, what I would call, island exercise in one area. So spreading wide helped clearly with the ROI. The other thing that some of the studies showed is time boxing is key. Having a line of business sponsor is key. So in other words, it doesn't work if you have just some little IT exercise or if it's just some innovation center not connected to the line of business. So sponsorship, time boxing, clear KPIs as to what do we want to achieve and which problem do we want to solve.
Right.
In other words, all that is more successful than what I would call analysis paralysis and looking for the perfect case.
Yeah.
or the what I would call research approach, where let's take some sensors and connect them and produce a dashboard. So you need to have a clear business problem to solve, a business sponsor, time boxing, clear KPIs, and ideally more than one initiative, spreading it and seeing what are the successful front runners and building on those. Those are clearly some of the what I would call non-technology challenges. In a way, they're common sense that we learn from various studies, but also from working with our customers.
Okay, very good. We're coming up towards the end of the show now, Avira. Is there any question that I haven't asked you that you think I should have?
It's a very good question. I would say when we look at the type of use cases, what kind of typical use cases do we see is one question that I very often get asked. And I mentioned before, yes, we have the areas of intelligent asset, intelligent product, intelligent factory, and empowered people. Now, another dimension to look at, it would be what type of goals are people pursuing? Is it about new business models? Is it about efficiency? Is it about customer experience? In other words, what type of goal do people look at? And one thing I'd point out is we see increasingly people looking as product as a service offerings. Now, that doesn't work for all types of offerings, but that is something that we see a shift to product as a service in the construction, transportation, hospitality realm, and insurance industries, where we see a shift. And I believe the look at the customer experience, in other words, does my digital transformation help me create a better customer experience, is clearly something that we see where people look at their customers, but also at their customers' customers. And I would encourage people to take that line of sight to look, in addition to the productivity gains and the overhaul of production, really the focus on the customers, and to put that at the forefront and the center of a digital transformation.
Superb. Elvira, if people wanted to know more about Elvira or IoT or Industry 4.0 or any and all of the above, where would you have me direct them? And feel free to give multiple links. I'll put them into the description in the show notes when I publish this.
Oh, definitely. Join me on Twitter. Join me on LinkedIn. And of course, we have our flabbergastingly great website, sap.com/IoT. And not to forget, we're going to run an open SAP course in the near future. And I would really appreciate you joining us in that open SAP course.
Fantastic. I'll have links to all of those in the show notes. Okay, that's been great. Elvira, thanks a million for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Tom. It's always great to be one of your interviewees.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain, or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application to get new episodes right away as soon as they're published. And also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.